It is called Faith Fight. Faith Fight. Amen. If they'll put that up for me. We today are starting Faith Fight. Pastor Sandra kicked it off, I heard, last Sunday. Praise the Lord. And I know she was her normal prophetic self, and I'm going to be my normal teaching self. And so, amen. You got the 1-2 punch. Amen. So, but today we're going to talk about faith, about standing, about believing, about getting in your inside a don't quit kind of spirit. Amen. Anybody going through anything right now? This is why I had to have them sing that song. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Where the Bible says we're like sheep led to the slaughter. In other words, sometimes God allows us to go through things that don't seem to make any sense, don't seem to be fair, don't seem to be, I didn't sign up for this. Anybody say, I didn't sign up for this? Anybody feel like that besides me? Like, Lord, okay, wait a minute, hold on. I didn't sign up for this. Well, we're going to talk about it today. We're going to lay some foundation as we always do, but you don't want to miss one Sunday in this series if you need to be encouraged, if you need to be strengthened, and maybe you're not going through right now. Trust me, you want to get this message now before your faith fight comes. Amen? Amen. Today's message would be titled Permission to be Persecuted. Permission to be persecuted. Are you with me? Let's open up in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Say you got it when you get there. Amen? 1 Timothy 6 and 12. This will be our foundational text for this series. You're going to want to take notes. I got quite a few notes for you today. Most of them will be on slides, so it'll be easy for you to copy down. Because again, we want to lay down some good teaching and foundation so you know why you're going through what you're going through. I'm getting ready to remove the fog and the mysticism from trials and tribulations. Y'all with me? Don't get sleepy now. Y'all didn't shout it, prayed, you gave flowers, you did coloring books and all of that. Now it's time for the word and the flesh be, ooh, it's tired, it's late, ain't it late? Don't try it. Mama sang, auntie sang. Sometimes I feel like I got the hot potato. Like they give it to me right before the music's about to cut off. Like, oh, see. Then I be, they'd be like, he long with it. No, y'all gave it to me at 11:45. That's what happened. 1 Timothy 6 and 12, you there? All right, let's read this together. Fight the good fight of faith. Read it one more time. Fight the good fight. Come on, everybody, one more time. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession. Somebody say the good confession. The good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What is a good confession? The good confession is I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior. There's a reason that when people get baptized back here, I ask specifically a question. I said, have you received Jesus Christ as your what? Lord and Savior. If you have, please declare before all these witnesses, yes, I have. Listen, even when you get saved, some people get saved in a bathroom, some people get saved in an alley, some people get saved in a club or wherever Jesus finds you. Listen, you make that private declaration to him. But in order to be saved, you must make a public declaration, a confession before witnesses. Oh, you're missing it. There's a reason we have you come down. Sometimes, you know, we'll do an altar call and people won't want to, they'll raise a hand, but they don't want to come down to the front. Like, I just want you to come over here. No. You're missing something. There's in the Bible, it says you have been called to eternal life. You confess the good confession in what? The presence of many witnesses, which means we get to hold you accountable to your commitment to the Lord. You mean Jesus get to go on the cross, lay as a naked, open shame, and hang up there? and you want to receive him privately? Oh, it's quiet. He had to carry a cross up a hill, be beaten and spit upon for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. It wasn't his fault. It was your fault. Somebody say it was my fault. And he was laid to a naked open shame, and we want to be private about our salvation? He said, listen, I did all the work. All you do is got to confess it openly. I was the one naked. I know they put a little towel around him. He didn't have no towel. No. Somebody just let that just imprint on your brain right there. But look at what it says. Paul is talking to Timothy, this young pastor, and he's saying to him, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed this good confession in the presence of many witnesses. But what you got to see here is Paul is guaranteeing that anyone who wants to lay hold of eternal life. Anybody in here want to lay hold of eternal life? In other words, anybody in here want to see Jesus? Anybody want to see him crack the sky? Or really be with him when he cracked the sky? Let me say it that way. Because if you see him crack the sky, you missed the first bus. You going, you're just going to be on the short bus. That's the late bus. Paul is guaranteeing that anyone who wants to lay hold of life, of eternal life, see Jesus and made the confession of salvation. Has anybody here made the confession of salvation? Anybody stand up and say, Jesus is my Lord? All right. He is guaranteeing that you will have a faith fight. He is guaranteeing that you will have a faith fight. First key point, you are guaranteed, if you're saved, you are guaranteed to have a faith fight. The only question is, will it be a good fight? You are guaranteed to have a faith fight. Say, I'm guaranteed to have a faith fight. I'm guaranteed to have a faith fight. But he said, fight the good fight of faith. The question is, there's a lot of people fighting with faith, but is it a good fight? Anybody ever watch boxing? Yeah. You know, boxing was kind of losing a little bit of its flavor because, you know, after Mike Tyson left the game, you know, them fights were like $100, $50, $75 for these big fights. And then somebody dancing around the ring the whole time. And it's like, I want to see somebody get knocked out. You know, Mike Tyson, even though his fights were short, it was worth it. It was all $50, all $75 for that pay-per-view was worth it for him to knock somebody out in a minute and 2 seconds. Anybody miss that? So people start going to the UFC, right? Because UFC, you guaranteed to get a knockout. The only way to win is knock somebody out. Folks are getting choked out. I mean, it was a bit gory, but we got used to it. It's like, you know what? I can do this. I mean, the Bible says it's not good to have feet that are swift to run to evil. But y'all remember when we used to hear there was going to be a fight? We'd be running over there. Oh, so-and-so going to fight. It's 3:00. And you'd be, hold on. Was it just me? All right. So, but anybody like a good fight? I get frustrated when I spend a lot of money and it's 12 rounds of nothingness. I like to see a good fight. I don't want a mismatch. And apparently God wants to see a good fight too. He's tired of putting his money on you and you keep punking out, running around the ring. Somebody say he wants his money's worth. You've been doing all this training. And some of y'all running because you ain't been on your body bag. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You ain't putting no training in. You've been dancing around and playing and drinking soda and eating popcorn instead of training. See, right now, you're in a training session. See, just like boxers train in a gym, the children of God train in the presence of God. And if you haven't been in his presence, chances are you're not going to put up a good fight, even though you guaranteed to have one. No believer is exempt. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not exempt. Now listen, if we're going to talk about the faith fight, we need to know what faith is so we really understand what we're fighting for and what we're fighting with. Amen? So let's lay this down. Hebrews 11, 1. You know this is the definition of faith. Let's read this together. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's read it one more time. Now, faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. I love to read this in the Amplified Version. Let's read this. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact what has not been revealed to the senses. Do you catch that? Check this out. Let's use that as our definition for faith. Put up this key point here. Faith is perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith is perceiving as a real fact what has not been revealed to the senses. Okay? So it's believing you're healed even though your senses say you're not. It's believing he's going to provide while there's nothing in your bank account to state that you are going to be provided for. It's believing that things are going to turn around although all you can see is chaos. It's believing it. And notice in the version of the Amplified, it said it's the confirmation, the what? Title deed. A title deed is important to understand because when you have the title deed to something, it does not matter whether you're in it. It's still yours. Right? If your name is on title, you could be in Texas. The house could be in California. But guess what? The house is yours even though you're not in it, nor do you see it. The title deed says, it's mine. So listen, this means faith gets you the title deed to your healing, even though you don't have the healing right now. You got the paperwork that says it's yours. That's what faith is. Perceiving as a real fact, even though it hasn't been revealed to my senses. Apparently, senses are later than hope. Stay with me. All right. So let's get this for a second. Let's talk about enemies to our faith. Let's go to our next slide there. Enemies of your faith. Senses, spirits, and seasons. These are the enemies of your faith. These are the things that you are contending with in your faith fight. If we're guaranteed to have a faith fight, might as well know what we're fighting against. You're fighting against your senses, spirits, and seasons. Your senses are your mental faculties. Your mental faculties. We'll discuss that in just a moment. Spirits are demonic spirits or demonically influenced agents. Anybody know who those are? Those are folks that are being influenced by demonic spirits. Folks that just seem to be running and gunning for you. Folks that betrayed you. Folks that turned on you for no reason out of the blue. And there's no rhyme or reason for why they are doing. It's like, you ever feel like you're in somebody's crosshairs and they're just aiming at you? And it's like, why are they choosing me? How come they didn't choose them? How come? Anybody ever been pulled over and the person right next to you was speeding? But they didn't want them. They wanted you. I'm not knocking any police officers, but I'm just saying it happens, right? And it's like, okay, why are you picking on me? Like, you was 1 minute late, they was 20 minutes late, but they talking to you? Anybody feel like, why are you picking on me? Okay, that's demonically influenced agents that are focused because here's the thing. When you have somebody's focus like that, it's because you're their assignment. And the person next to you is not their assignment. And the reason they're not their assignment because they don't have a kingdom agenda. You don't tackle somebody who's not carrying the ball. But if you got, notice that a lot of times all hell breaks loose in your life right when you get a kingdom assignment. Let me keep moving. All right. And the next one is seasons. Somebody say seasons. These seasons, most people know what seasons are in our life, but we have to fight through seasons. These are situations, scenarios, and circumstances that are oftentimes time sensitive. Time sensitive. One of the main things we have to fight, or what makes it a faith fight, is time. The time from when you have the title deed to the time that you are in what you own. The time from when you hear the word of the Lord to the time that you see it actually manifest. So all the time that you're waiting and going through your season, you may be encountering demonic spirits or demonically influenced agents while fighting your mental faculties and your senses that are all saying you're never going to get to the place that God told you you're going to get. And that's where you have to keep the faith, lay hold while you're fighting. Somebody say, fight the good fight. Is this helping you? We just laying foundation. So catch this. Based upon the scripture we just read in the Amplified, one of the greatest enemies of our faith is your senses. Your senses. Let's look at that. Let's look at a couple of these senses here. Faculties that fight faith. The faculties that fight faith. The first one is sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Why sight? Sight is one of those senses because here's what it is. It keeps us focused on what it looks like. Y'all with me? What it looks like. What you hear, that's another sense that we have, right? Because with that, it's what does it sound like? It doesn't sound like it's going to work out. It doesn't look like it's going to work out. It doesn't sound like they're going to be on my side. You with me? Feelings. What does it feel like? Your word says I'm healed, but when I got up this morning, I didn't feel healed. This is all feelings, all emotions. You with me? And then another mental faculty is memories. And that's what happened the last time. Oh, I'm helping you. These are senses that are fighting your faith because faith is perceiving as a real fact what has not been revealed to your senses. And sometimes memories fight faith because memories don't keep you focused on what God said is going to happen. They keep you focused on what happened the last time. The last time the business failed, the last time you stepped out in faith, the last time you took a risk, the last time that you gave that amount of money. So faculties that fight faith is sight, hearing, feelings, and memories. Now listen to this. The ultimate goal of your faith fight is getting to heaven. That's the end game. Stay with me. It's getting to heaven. I mean, we are working through, you know, believing God for your mortgage, or maybe you're buying a house or getting a job or doing what there's the short game and there's the long game. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So meanwhile, yes, you're using your faith for minor things in your life, but the ultimate one is to see Jesus. Let's be real. We're here today because we expect to see Jesus. Meanwhile, using our faith to get to the ultimate end game, which is seeing Jesus or catching the rapture, right? And the catching away of the church. But meanwhile, I got to pay my mortgage. But the ultimate goal is to see him face to face. Because did we see him die on the cross? Did we see him get up from the grave? Did he appear to any of you like he did to Paul on the road to Damascus? So the only reason you're here, believing in a man you've never seen, confessing a word from a man you've never seen, believing that he died on a cross and you weren't there and there was no news or no YouTube to prove it, you're using your what? Faith. and then have nerve to confess that he's going to provide for you and you ain't never seen him. To believe he's going to heal you and you've never seen him, your ultimate goal. So oftentimes when the Bible is talking about hope or the great hope, it is talking about seeing Jesus. That's why when we read that fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, because that's the ultimate goal. Everything else are small battles. The ultimate war is to see him face to face. But here's the thing. The enemy believes and knows that if I can get God, get you to give up your faith in the small battles, you'll ultimately give up on seeing him face to face. Stay with me. Can I tell you this? God wants us to fight. The kingdom of God is a hostile environment. The kingdom and its citizens are always suffering violence. It is actually in our nature and design to engage in spiritual warfare, and you need to understand you come from a fighting family. Oh, listen to me. Now we're talking about we're guaranteed to have a faith fight. Are y'all with me? Somebody say, I'm guaranteed. I'm not exempt. So if I'm not exempt and I'm guaranteed to have a faith fight, then what are the chances that God wants us to fight? I know we're Christians. I know. So there's a running theme throughout the church is that we are nonviolent. But I want to give you four proofs that God wants you to fight. Anybody come from a natural fighting family? Like we all fight. Like we're nice, we're kind, but test one of us. We could be talking about our cousin, but let somebody run up on them the wrong way. Just look the wrong way. Somebody don't know what I'm talking about. Anybody come from one of them families, like if you got in a fight, their first question is not, are you all right? Their first question is, did you win? Anybody come from, just go and raise your hand. I just need to know who my fighters are. All right, I got you. Like, you ever come from a family like, you know, I got all girls. I got one little boy, you know, but I need my boy to be a boy, you know, and I don't advocate fighting. I don't. But we work out. Yeah, because if it ever goes down, don't come in here whimpering. I know moms will be like, oh my God, and I'm going to pull them to the side. Did you win? No, really, I don't want him to fight, but if he does, he better win. I tell him, don't start nothing, just finish everything. We're a finishing family. Four indications we come from a fighting family. Put them up. God made us hostile. In Genesis 3:15, he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and her seed and your seed. Who said that? This is when God was releasing the curse because of Eve's failure. He says, and I will put enmity. When he's talking to Satan, I will put enmity. Who put enmity there? God did. The word enmity means hostile intent. So if he put it there, that means that each and every one of us is a hostile, hostile nature. Who put it there? He did. He didn't say they're going to be hostile. He says, I will put enmity. In Genesis 2:1, the Bible says, and after he created the heavens and the earth, and it says, and the host of them, turn there, Genesis 2:1, just put it on the screen. And the host of them, that host there is the Hebrew word sabah, T-S-B-A-H. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were all finished and all the host of them. That word host of them is the Hebrew word sabah, and it means a group of people designed and created and waiting on war. He's not talking about the angels. The angels were already created. This scripture is backed up in the book of Psalms because he says, and the host of them that were created with the breath of his mouth. Angels were not created with his breath. Only man was. That word host is a group of people designed and waiting to wage war. So you gave us a hostile attitude and then designed our bodies and our spirits for war. Go back to my slide there. Then he put us in a hostile environment. Matthew 11, 12 says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. Which means when we came into the kingdom of God, I know it's love, joy, and peace and all that. But the kingdom of heaven also does what? Suffers violence. So you got a hostile attitude, a hostile design, and now you're in a hostile environment. These are indications he must want us to go to war. He must want us to fight. Then he had the mindset to say, since I've given them a hostile attitude and then designed them for war and then put them in a hostile environment, let me give them weapons of their warfare. And then, because they might get hit sometimes, let me give them the armor of God. Am I in the Bible? So if I walk up to my son and train him to fight, hand him boxing gloves, and then put armor and headgear on him, what am I saying to him? Am I saying, listen, live a peaceable life? No, I'm saying to him, I want you to fight. And I want to give you permission, people of God, to fight. God has designed you for such. He has created you for such. He put that little bit of, I ain't finna take this attitude in you. Some of y'all just need to be under the blood a little more. But the very root of that, he put that there. Come on, some of you just say out of your heart, I'm a fighter. I don't start stuff, but I sure enough finish it. Key point, God expects his children to fight. He just doesn't want you to fight in the flesh. Somebody just got their license taken away. It's like, oh man, I was finna cut up after the service. And say, Pastor said did it. Pastor said to fight. You was pulling up your little phone thing. I'm gonna call in right after service. I was trying to be peaceable. God wants his children to fight. He just doesn't want them to fight in the flesh. What does the scripture say? It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Put it up there, 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That word carnal is where we get the word carne for flesh. Okay? And so if the weapons we have are not carnal, then probably our fight is not. Our fight is not what? The Bible also says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual. Somebody say spiritual. So the hostile environment, when God said, I will put enmity, who was he talking to? He was talking to Satan. And he says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the what? Woman, listen, this is why, listen, the greatest prayer warriors are women. Your greatest faith fighters are women. Listen, I know people. This is why when it's time to pray at midnight, call the wailing women. Because he put a hostile, they're the ones that I'm not taking this in my family. I'm not taking this for my children. No, you're not going to have my husband. No, I know what the doctor said. I thank God for warring women. Where are the warring women in the house? Let me help you get your fight back. Let me help you get your warfare anointing. Did you know that there's a woman in the Bible named Shira? Yes, my mama found her. Listen to me. You were designed to fight. And then he says, to her seed and the seed of the serpent. So it is in our design that when we see a person, but the spirit ain't right, when we see his offspring working, it's already, we already know what set they from. Let me help you. You from a set. It's called the kingdom of God. We don't have rags. We got prayer cloths. We don't throw up signs. We throw up our hands. And when we see somebody from another set that's from another spirit and we say, what spirit are you of? It should get hostile. We ain't got a front in the flesh. We just go in the prayer closet and go to war, because the war is not on this realm. The war's at a higher realm. And so listen, when the devil's trying to take you down, that's when it's time for you to go up. Oh, listen to me. I hope you're catching this. God wants you to fight. He expects you to fight. And he puts you in a hostile environment. The kingdom of God is suffering violence. Where are the violent people at? Let's look at some common faith fights. Common faith fights. The first one is eternal life. Seeing Jesus. Getting to heaven. Especially when they've been telling you it's the last day since 1963. Matter of fact, in the Bible it says these are the last days. And like, how long are the last days going to be? Matter of fact, they was trying to say Jesus coming back on September 23rd, weren't they? Right? They try to say he's on his way back. Like, oh, here they go again. And after a while, if you don't know your Bible, that can mess with your faith. And it'd be so convincing. You know, for those of you who go to YouTube University, you know, that's really convincing. I know it's an epidemic of not reading books and going to YouTube University because it's so much easier, but you need to read. And start with your Bible. But common faith fights are the one for eternal life. Maybe you're even believing for somebody to get saved. Okay, major common fights, and then I'm just grouping them together. Obviously, there's numerous ones within each number that I have here. But another major common faith fight is deliverance and breakthrough. Deliverance from drugs, deliverance from alcohol, deliverance from sexual sin, deliverance from a particular type of thinking or emotional breakthroughs that you need. Right? That's a faith fight. And they don't always come that quickly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're fighting through that season where you may be battling depression. That's a faith fight. Battling through heartbreak. That's a faith fight. Battling through betrayal. It's a faith fight. Healing is another major faith fight. That's what I'm in right now. You hear me? Anybody been through a healing faith fight? When you got a diagnosis from the doctor about you or maybe even your child. I'm seeing more children with certain diagnoses and the enemy trying to attack children. And babies with terminal illnesses, it's time for you to get hostile in the spirit realm. That's a faith fight. Finances and provision. Anybody been through that one? Listen, if you haven't been through them, write them down. They're coming. Don't worry. You just may not have been permitted to go through it yet. We'll get there. Marriage and family. Believing for your crazy husband, or your crazy child, or your crazy wife. Or maybe you believe in for a wife or believing for a husband. Yeah? Don't raise your hand too high. Amen. Another major faith fight are dreams and goals. Fulfilling your purpose, the vision that God has branded on the inside of your heart that you can't shake, and it hasn't worked out a few times, or you keep being told no by these demonically influenced agents. And it's been 6 years and you thought this thing was going to turn out by now. And your family's telling you, no, you know, you need to go get a real job and you need to let that go. And that, you know, that's childish. Oh, sometimes family, you know, one of the things we need to put up there to fight against your faith is opinions of others. People that you have held as authority figures and they try to make themselves higher than God's authority. Come on now. Am I talking to anybody? Somebody say, you got to fight for your goals. Fight for your dreams. You got to fight over prophecies. Somebody say common faith fights. All right, we just laying foundation here. 2 Timothy 4 and 7. Oh, I'm almost out of time, Lord. This all right? 2 Timothy 4, 7. Read this again. This is Paul talking to Timothy again in another passage. He's saying, I have fought the what? Good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me only, but also to all who have loved his what? Appearing. Have you noticed again, Paul is talking about the final end game of the faith fight. Because Paul's talking about, I'm going to go to heaven. I have run my what? Race. I have finished the fight. I fought the good fight. I finished my race. What does it say? And I have done what? Kept the faith. So look, he says, I fought the good fight. I finished my race. And I have done what? Kept the faith. That's what you got to do. Fight the good fight. Finish your race. And keep the faith the whole time you're running. We got to talk about the race. Somebody say the race. When you came to the Lord, you were set on a particular race course. Somebody say my path. Have you noticed the Bible says the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? It doesn't say the path. It says my path. In Psalms 139, if you'll put that up there, Psalms 139, you see this my path again. You see it, it's all throughout the scriptures. Somebody say my path. You and I all have a particular course that we are supposed to be running, right? It says, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You have a my path. If you don't know that you have a particular path, and listen, it's important for you to understand that because we got too many people trying to run on other folks' race course. And it's important for you to understand my path. Say it again, my path. My race. The Bible says the race is not given to the swift, but those that do what? Endure to the end. You have to know about your path, your course. God says, he says you comprehend, which means he understands. But actually, when you look at it in the Hebrew, it means winnow. It means he shaped it. In other words, I have a particular course to run. And based upon my course and my path that the word of God is lighting for me to run on will determine the kind of faith fights I'm going to have. Are you listening to me? So there was things I was going through as a very young man that did not seem to be fair for somebody in my age bracket, but there were things that were seemed to be statistically and most commonly people who were much older would go through those things, but I was going through them in late 20s, early 30s, and I couldn't figure out why, because God had to shorten my experience, my trial education, because I was going through trials and tribulations for people I hadn't met yet. And because my tenure as pastor was going to be, or my career as a pastor and a minister of the gospel was going to start rather early, I had to get some experience to be able to preach to you from a place of not just theory, but experience. So because of my particular course, I had to go through a divorce, a bankruptcy from moving and just different things that I won't go into, but I'm sure you'll hear through about it throughout this series. But different things I went through had to do with my path and my course. And in order for me to run my race, because of the course that he has for me and what my assignment is, I had to go through certain trials and tribulations that everybody didn't have to go through. And even if they did, it wasn't at the same time and in the same season. Are you listening to me? So you need to understand that you have a course to run, and that's what will determine the kind of faith fight that you have. What is frustrating is when you don't know your course, then you will be frustrated by the things that you are facing because you don't know what course you're running. Y'all with me? Your path may include certain difficulties, Some people's path got a few more twists in it. Some people got a few circles in their path. Some people got a figure eight for a little while. God, no matter what your path is, no matter what your course is, he expects you to keep running, not run out of wind, not get idle, not stand still, and he expects you to keep the faith the whole time that you are running. You with me? 1 Peter 4 and 12. Somebody say, keep the faith as you're turning there. We're going to help you right quick. Is this good so far? All right, I want to read this in the Living Bible, 1 Peter 4 and 12. It says this. Dear friends, y'all there? Read this with me. Dear friends, don't be bewildered or surprised when you go through fiery trials. For this is no strange or unusual thing that this is going to happen to you. Instead, be really glad, because these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering. And afterwards, you will have the wonderful joy of sharing his glory in that coming day when it will be displayed. In other words, when you go through suffering, suffering causes glory. So stop looking surprised and shocked when God passed out a hostile attitude, a hostile spiritual design, put you in a hostile environment, and then gave you weapons and armor, and wonder why a fight came. Nobody goes to the Marines and surprised they handed them a gun. Last time I checked it, I thought it was called the Army of the Lord. Okay. It says don't think it's strange, right? Let's read this. 14. Be happy if you are cursed and insulted for being a Christian. For when that happens, the Spirit of God will come upon you with great glory. Look. Then it says, read that 15 with me. Don't let me hear of you suffering for murdering or stealing or making trouble or being a busybody and prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. See, why are there so many Christians complaining about having a hard time and going through? See, I believe it's because there's a spirit of Tinkerbell floating through the kingdom of God. Tinkerbell is in the body of Christ. We got Tinkerbell Christians that don't want to go through nothing. And some of it is we have never been indoctrinated on the suffering of saints. Oh, we're about to get there in just a second. The suffering, somebody say the suffering of saints. We are suffering saints, but we have joy in the midst of trials because we understand that suffering equals glory. But it's not often taught on today because, see, in old school, they used to teach about suffering for the Lord. They used to talk about going through. It was in all the teachings, and it was definitely in all the songs. Come on, y'all. All the songs were about, I made it over, and swing low, sweet chariot, and I've been through the trial. I had some good days, and I had some weary days. I'm like, man, that's a dreary song. Anybody know about them old songs? All them songs are talking about struggling and making it over and standing and fighting. And I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the... We don't sing that no more. We sing, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They both the word. But the problem is new school came and began to teach. And see, here's the thing. Here's what new school taught. New school taught about faith that old school didn't have. They didn't have that same comprehension of faith. New school came and taught about prosperity, but they also began to teach about escapism. And in escapism, are y'all with me? Escapism is God's going to rescue you out. With a trial, he also makes a way of escape. You're not going to go through the tribulation. The rapture's going to come before then. Right? And we'll talk about that in a second. But the point is we taught escapism. And if you're going through and you're suffering now, it's not going through for the glory of God. It's you lack faith to get out of it. And so because that doctrine has been taught over the last X amount of years, we have created Tinkerbells in the spirit. Softies ice cream. Tender saints. And this is why we have to be taught the full counsel of God. That yes, we use faith. Yes, we believe in prosperity. Yes, we believe in Him bringing us out. But sometimes the way of escape is not out, it's through. Why would He make you pure gold, and gold is purged by fire and purified by fire, if you weren't going to go through it? When you came to the Lord, He gave you the right to come to Him, but He also gave you the right to go through trials. Listen to me. New school, listen. This, if this doctrine is not taught, it will bewilder saints. And this is why many have stopped running their race, because nobody told them there were faith fights. Matthew 5 and 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the what? Kingdom of God. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who, blessed are you when they what? Revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were with you. That's in Matthew. That's New Testament teaching from Jesus. Blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You remember that last scripture we read? He says, make sure that your persecution is not for murdering and being a gossip and all that. Listen, because see, some of us, we're persecuted, but it ain't for righteousness' sake. You're not in a trial. You have an open door. And most of y'all open doors your mouth. Oh. 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. I know we're going to talk about Him making a way. We're going to get there. But we need to understand you are in for a faith fight. If you want to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. It's not supposed, listen, the only difference is you don't stay in persecution. You have seasons. The Bible says it's time to mourn and time to dance. There's time to gather stones, time to cast them away. You're going to have different seasons, but we got to teach both sides. And the church has not been teaching both sides. We've been teaching everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. He's going to work it out. He's going to turn around for your good. And yes, He will. But there's another side where you need to be persecuted so you can get glory. Key point, make sure your suffering is for righteousness and not foolishness. There are so many believers that are going through trials and tribulations who think God is going to turn it around, and their suffering is for foolishness. And you got sin in your life, and you're doing things against God's principles, and all hell breaks loose in your life. Well, why are you sitting here thinking, oh, Lord, I'm waiting for you to rescue you? He said, I'm waiting for you to repent. We're going to look at one scripture and I'm done. Philippians 1:27. Is this all right? It's going to have to be. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conduct be worthy of God, of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Look at this. Verse 28. Read this with me. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition, but to you salvation that is from God. Do you know what that means? They said, while you're going through trial, don't let your enemies see you walking in fear. Because when you do not cower in the face of adversity, it says to them they are going to be defeated. There's nothing better than in the middle of a boxing match that just before it starts, it's the stare down. I'm always concerned about the fighter that's looking down like this the whole time. And that dude who might be smaller, but he just look crazy. Like you could see it in somebody's eyes. They crazy. He didn't come here to fight. I was concerned like when my man was fighting the dude from UFC. I was concerned. I'm like, this gonna end up as a UFC fight. That's y'all know what I'm talking about, right? When Mayweather fought what's the dude, Conor? Conor McGregor is crazy. And when he saw, I said, if he don't win the fight, he gonna win by chokeout. Because he came here to win. And it was a couple times when he was boxing, you see him spin around him and he kind of grabbed, and he said, oh, yeah. I said, I'm telling you right now, he about to choke him out. But the stare down matters, because when you see fear in your opponent's eyes, you already know you got him. Because you already know they see themselves as a grasshopper. And so this scripture says, don't be terrified by your adversary in any way, because when you stare him in the face, say, I'm standing no matter what. I'm not quitting no matter what. It's proof to them. It's like, we only got so long before we got to leave. Because when fear's not there, faith gets to stay. But when fear shows up, faith got to go. They cannot occupy the same space. Look at this. 29. For to you, everybody read this. For to you, it has been granted on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? In other words, he says, when you came to the Lord, I'm so gracious. I love you so much that not only did I give you and grant you permission to receive me as your Lord and Savior, I give you permission to suffer for my sake. In other words, Jesus says, I permit you. You have now been qualified to be persecuted on my behalf. It's an honor. You have now been honored to be persecuted on my behalf. Why are we looking strange? Did you know when you came up here? I know they don't advertise that part. That's why it's good to read fine print. Hey, listen, come on up here. Jesus is going to sanctify you. He's going to set you free. He loves you. It's a free gift. And with this free gift, you're going to do it at the end of the commercial. This medicine is going to heal your heart, but you might have a stroke. You might have a thing. May pass out, could cause death. You know, may go through fiery furnace. That's how Jesus read. Jesus loves you. He's going to forgive your sin. He paid it all. Receive him as Lord and Savior. But you may go through fiery furnaces. You might. Please check with your physician before you take this. But we get to suffer for his glory. Anybody in here ready for your faith fight? Just stop complaining. Here's the best part. You was built for it. You was built to take a licking and keep on ticking. How many faith fights you already came through? And listen, you know you kept your faith when you've been in a fight and nobody knows you've been in one. That's the thing about faith. It allows you to go through fire and like the three Hebrew boys still come out not even smelling like smoke. The Bible says not one of their hairs was touched. I decree and declare that as we go through this series, you're gonna have fire retardant faith. You're going to go through the fire and you'll have to tell people you've been through a fight. Listen, I told the Lord told me as I was praying and believing, let me tell you something. They were testing me for multiple sclerosis. They did not know what it was, y'all. I had a spinal tap and everything. And when they first told me, fear tried to grip my heart. And my wife and I, we looked at each other, and when we got the news, they said, hey, we think this might be MS, and so, you know, and some of it can be deadly. So for this to come upon you and grip you like this, you know, we're concerned. This is the neurologist. Y'all listening? And me and my wife, we sat in that car, and I saw the tears welling up her eyes. I said, baby, don't be scared. We're not going to walk in fear. We're going to, even though we just heard something that is contrary to our faith. Faith is perceiving as a real fact what my ears haven't heard yet. I have to regurgitate. I got to throw up them words because I shall believe the report of the Lord. And so when I went in and they had to go do the spinal tap, I had a spinal tap. It's when they test your spinal cord fluid. And I was sitting in there and my wife was praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm curled up, you know, they got me in my drawers and all that. They're going to see all my glory and everything. I'm like, no, you don't want to look at this. So I'm curled up, and they had the other lady in there. What's they call that? The resident. You know, the resident who came with the maid. And, you know, this woman, I didn't know she was going to be seeing my drawers. I'm like, man, well, can I know your name since you're going to see? I should at least know your name, you know. So I'm curled up. They're taking it. And while they're taking it, I told them, I said, I need you to be careful because that's genius juice you have. I said, when you look at that, didn't I tell them? I said, when you look at it, the only thing you're going to see is the glory of God. Because, you know, they're testing you for proteins and all that different kind of thing. And so they was just in there getting laughing. Well, you know, and we're going to test for this. We're going to test for that. And I said, okay. And so I said, let me see them bottles. And I just laid my hands on them. And I said, Father, everything in my body that's trying to die, you said you would quicken my mortal body because the same power that raised Christ from the dead would quicken my mortal body. That means... And I laid my hand and I spoke to my fluid. They called me back. No, we got in the car and we just grabbed hands and we prayed. And what we would not do is, even though you kind of want to be like, oh my goodness, we would not let this thing see fear in our eyes. It's proof that you will be destroyed. And they called me back several weeks later and said, hello, we have the results of your test. And generally, at this particular hospital, if they call you back, that means it's trouble. I got one of them special ones that they don't call you if. Anyway, so they call back, and I'm in the gym working out in my church socks. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And so I'm working out, and they call me, and I'm like, yes. They said, yes, we have a report from the doctor. I'm like, oh, my goodness, y'all called me. That means... it's trouble. And I said, no, I'm going to hold my faith. And so while he's talking, I said, so am I talking to the doctor? She said, no, we have to give you your report. They just told us to read it to you over the phone. I'm like, the doctor don't want to talk to me? So she said, no, I have a quote from him. The quote is, your fluid came back normal. And then it said, and remarkable. I said, remarkable. Yes, remarkable. I said, hold on. I said, how can you be normal and remarkable? Oh, it means the same thing. I said, no. I know English real well. Remarkable don't mean the same as normal. But I decreed out of my mouth, it was genius juice. I decreed out of my mouth, everything in my body is lining up with the word of God. And then when they told me that, I cried in the gym, in my church socks. And I said, and I heard the word of the Lord come to me so strong. You shall pursue. And without fail, recover all. He said, when I get done with you, there won't even be the remnants of a limp and a dip. You'll have to tell them the faith. Faith, he said, the faith I'm giving you, I felt faith come upon me. And the faith that he's given me, listen, he says, you got to pursue it. And without fail, recover it all. He said, you're going to get it all back. All speed. I'm going to run like George. I saw George run around and said, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I have to tell people back. Y'all remember back when I was dragging my leg? Y'all remember back when I was, listen, he said, the same faith that built this future center. He said, you're going to run through that too. Are you hearing me? Somebody give the Lord a hand praise. Somebody say, keep the faith and fight the good fight of faith. Give the Lord a hand praise.
Thank you for listening. We're out of time. To enjoy more teaching, visit JaronCO'Neill.com or listen to Jaron C. O'Neill Podcast on all of your favorite platforms. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday morning celebration and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. for Rock With Me Wednesday Bible study. Watch us live on the Fountain Church app or Facebook Live. And you can also watch us on FountainChurch.com. We look forward to seeing you soon. Until then, remember, everything you need is in the fountain.